This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
College basketball, we have a problem. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie, who is a little under the weather. She should be back tomorrow. She's doing fine. I'm sure she's listening right now, and I'd be curious her thoughts on this topic. The transfer portal in college basketball has gone bananas. It opened on March 24th, closes toward the end of April. What's the numbers you're hearing on how many players have entered the transfer portal, Andrew Bogus?
Definitely over 900, probably across 1,000 by now.
Seems like a lot of players.
That's a lot of players.
So
I would point out, though, that there's a chunk of that number that are kids who have been fired, that have been told they have to leave. This is not, okay. I know it's easy to go, this is, oh, everyone's out there looking for $5 more, but there are coaches that kick kids or they agree that they have to go. Like, it's not just kids out there with their hands out looking for something. There are, I don't know what the number is. Is it a third? Is it a quarter? Is it less than that? It's not, I don't think it's much more than that. But there's an actual number inside the bigger number of people who are in the portal because they don't want to be in the portal.
Got it.
They were told they got to go.
So coaches have been railing against transfer portal, I'd say, for the last 4 years consistently. It's been a constant drumbeat. It's getting louder and louder. And this offseason, teams that are eliminated from the tournament, it feels like the first thing the coach does is rail, or even if you're not eliminated, is rail on the transfer portal. The latest guy is Maryland coach Kevin Willard, who just went off. Was this yesterday, EJ?
Yeah, this was yesterday.
Yeah, okay. So Kevin Willard, here he is commenting on the transfer portal.
The transfer portal is crazy. There's kids asking for $2, $3 million right now. And the money has exploded crazy because we have no guardrails. We have no rules. It's been as badly implemented of a rule as ever in any sport. And kids and our agents are taking advantage of it. You know, every player has an agent. Every agent is calling every school and saying, hey, you know, I got $1.2 million here. Give me $1.4 and we're gone.
By the way, doesn't every coach have an agent? And why would every player not have an agent? I'm not sure. Yeah. I understand.
I also don't believe those numbers. And I'm not like calling Coach Willard like anything other than like just I think all of these numbers are fabricated. I don't believe it when they say somebody signed for X amount of dollars at a school. I don't believe it. I know that these conversations are happening and there's bidding wars and whatnot, but the money, nothing matters. Like, I don't, are they bargain? Is it 1.2 over 1.4? I don't know. But I don't trust everyone to be completely honest in all of these equations because they're trying to prove their point. So things get embellished, decimal points get moved, zeros get added.
Yeah, I mean, that was on the Team 980 and Odyssey Station in D.C., by the way. I think here's one problem I have. College basketball coaches are recruiters. They're so used to lying that I don't even think they know what the truth is. I've been around a lot. I've always thought, this could sound mean, but the worst, the least ethical coaches in all of sports are college basketball coaches. I think college football, as my friends at the CBS, Pick Six podcast say, the sport is built on a lie, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, they've been paying players for a century.
Right.
And I just think they're so used to lying that they're trying to manipulate it. The reality is these, in my mind, the players should be getting paid. Now, I do agree there's a major problem about them not staying at their schools. But the only solution is one that I don't think these coaches want either, which is collective bargaining. There should be some sort of structure. And to do that, the players all have to get together and agree to something. And you need a union, which has not caught on in college sports yet. So I'm not exactly sure what does Kevin Willard want to happen here. The players are getting paid. That genie is out of the bottle.
Yeah.
So how does he expect it to work? Does he want to control the prices? That's called a monopoly. That's not happening. So I'm not exactly sure what his solution is.
I mean, I would certainly like transparency. Like, I think, like the NFL or NBA or wherever, I think we should be able to look up these agreements. I think these agreements all need to be on paper. They need to be, like, sent into somewhere centrally, whether it's the league or, you know, the conference or whatever. But, like, because another problem that is developing is a lot of this stuff is just verbal. And a kid gets promised this, and then they don't get their money. And we had, what, six or seven FSU players are suing Leonard Hamilton. Like, this is a real problem, too, is that, you know, you can complain all you want, and it's valid that agents are doing this and doing that, but there are also schools who are going, hey, I'll give you $500K, I'll give you $750, I'll give you $1 million, and then they actually, there's no reason, they don't have, like, there's no mechanism in the end to make them pay or for you to go, hey, you didn't give me my money, I need my money. So, like, yes, we need guardrails. The frustrating part of these conversations, it always ends up back on, we need to police the players. Like, the players are the ones who are out of control.
Right.
And I don't always hear coaches talking about how the university side of things needs to get policed here as well. But it would matter. To me, it matters. If I could go and, you know, there's all these sites now. There's COTS baseball contracts. There's SportTac. There's all these places where I just Google a name and a contract, and I can find almost every detail, every line of those deals. I should be able to look up at some point and see that A.J. DeBanza is going to get $8 million from BYU next year, because that's good for everybody. Everybody should know what's actually going on, and we should also know what A.J. DeBanza is owed and make sure that he gets what he's owed
too. Okay. We're talking kind of open free agency here, but I don't think that solves the problem for Kevin Willard, because the agents are still going to call and say, give me more money. By the way, $1.2 million, that might be a fair price for a good basketball player.
But you just used the word might, because we don't know what the actual
but the
price
agents
is.
Do. The agents, though.
They don't, not necessarily.
The teams and the agents, though. There are common sources that these teams have.
But when we have these conversations in any other sport, I know what Justin Jefferson just made. So now I know that I need to get my wide receiver $10 more than Justin Jefferson. This is a lot of this is based on speculation, hearsay, secondhand info, social media posts.
I'm not sure that's exactly how it works. I think Open Doors, who's the kind of a leader in the NIL space, I think they have, I don't know if they call it the black book, but they have a book of values. The schools are not flying blind like you say they are.
They're not flying blind, but they also don't have perfect vision either.
Yeah, but I think, getting back to the point, the players have every right to ask for this money.
Yeah.
The NCAA made $900 million last year off the NCAA tournament. You know where that money goes? It goes to all sorts of places that aren't the players.
I know.
So why the players deserve to get theirs. Now, I think the challenge here is how do you create a system where it's fair, and I don't love that players keep leaving their teams. You know, if you're a fan, I think you have every right to say, hey, I'm rooting for this guy. He is developing here. He can't just leave the next year. Then what am I cheering for?
Yeah, so part of my transparency idea is, and I think that this kind of happens now, but not all the time, and there's still ways out of it. But if, like, a player can sign a contract, a multiple-year contract, it doesn't have to be year to year. It can be, hey, I just signed for 3 years to play at BYU for $8 million. And after year two, maybe I have an opt-out or whatever. Like, yeah. But why can't it be basically full-on professional now?
Because teams don't want to do a three-year contract with a 17-year-old kid.
But you want to keep him in school, so you get to root for him.
The teams want their cake and eat it, too. They want the flexibility of the current system.
But teams want that, too, and that's what the negotiation is. You get to a place where you both can agree on something.
All right, give us a call if you have a solution here, 888-710-4ISN. You can also weigh in on the great debate. Which old athlete do you want to see play in today's game? For example, I picked Will Chamberlain, Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, Dan Marino. Don't, like Manny, don't pick somebody from the 2010s. No, I'm just kidding. He went with Babe Ruth. Okay, we have a sequel bracket.
J.J. Redick.
We have an interesting sequel bracket.
The podcast guy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He played?
Apparently.
Okay. Every year we do a side bracket in addition to the NCAA tournament bracket of something fun. This year we're doing movie sequels. And I'm glad Maggie's not here for this one today because we are doing the Hoth region bracket. And she could not pronounce the word Hoth. She claims to have seen Empire Strikes Back, but she weirdly didn't know any of the plot. We broke it to her, EJ and I, that Darth Vader was Luke's dad. Spoiler alert. Okay, I guess we're getting a lot of trouble for that. But we have some very interesting competition here in
How dare you?
In the Hoth region. Let's start off. This is an odd matchup. Star Wars Empire Strikes Back against Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Do you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No. No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
Deep there, Bogus. All right, let's go up against Beverly Hills Cop 2. Feels kind of like Baylor playing Duke in this matchup, but let's see what Beverly Hills Cop 2 brings to the table.
What's going on here? Who the hell are you?
Chief, this is...
Shut up, Rosewood! My name is Johnny Wishbone. Johnny Wishbone, and I'm a psychic from the island of St. Croix. Yes, I'm a psychic from the island of St. Croix, and I read in the St. Croix Gazette that the Beverly Hills Police Department having some trouble figuring out crimes. So what I did was come to Beverly Hills to help the police out. They tell me they don't want my help. They don't need my help, so I'm going to go on my merry way. I'm a psychic. I'm a psychic phenomenon. Watch this. I don't know who you are, but watch this. Your name is, Lutz, right? Chief Lutz.
Okay, Beverly Hills Cop 2 against Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. Our next matchup, one of my favorites, and I think a bogus favorite too, Incredibles 2 takes on Spider-Man 2.
I can't tell you how many memories Dickers had to erase over the years when someone figured out your mother's or my identity.
It was Dicker! You told them about Tony.
Honey.
You had me erased from Tony's mind! I hate superheroes, and I renounce them! I renounce them!
She having adolescence.
Have you guys seen that movie, Manny and EJ? Have you seen, I know parents have all seen it and appreciate
Incredibles
it.
Too? Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm only familiar with the first vehicle, unfortunately.
The first Incredibles?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same. Great movie. All right, let's go against Spider-Man 2, which is... This is a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Spider-Man 2.
He's making the machine again. When that happens, she'll die along with half of New York. Now, where is he?
Peter. He killed my father.
There are bigger things happening here than me and you. Harry, please, I've got to stop him.
Wow, that was deep. Doc Ock is on a tear right now. I love that movie. Okay.
He's great.
Our next matchup, Too Fast, Too Furious, an 11 seed, goes against Batman Returns.
Let your man go, huh?
Drop it, I don't want to talk about it.
Drop it, hell? I want to hear about this, homie.
I said forget about it, cuz.
Got Fuentes in with Barone. Markham trying to blow our cover. And we got two wild cards that are no better than that damn ankle bracelet of mine. I'ma tell you, bruh. You let your man Markham do that it again in front of Verone, that's going to be our ass.
Are you sure that wasn't Fast and Furious 4 that you were pulling from?
No, trust me. This is the most famous clip maybe from any of the movies.
I said forget about it, cuh.
Forget about it, cuh. This is definitely Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay, that goes against Batman Returns. Michael Keaton Batman, right? Batman Returns.
Great speech, Oswald.
My name is not Oswald. It's Penguin. I am not a human being. I am an animal. Cold-blooded. Crank the AC. Where are my lists? Bring me the name.
It's time. These are the names of the firstborn sons of Gotham City. Just like I was. And like me, a terrible fate waits for them.
There you go. That's Danny DeVito as the Penguin. I heard a long Danny DeVito story yesterday.
The Jersey Mike's guy?
The Jersey Mike's guy, the Always Sunny in Philadelphia guy, the taxi guy. I heard he once, I'll just tell it real quick, he wanted to smoke a cigar on a plane, and the pilot made him ask everyone on the plane if it was okay. If they all said yes, then he could smoke a cigar, and they all said yes. That's the
story.
How
about that?
That's a fun little Danny DeVito quip.
How lucky, recent? Lucky I was on that plane.
Mm. You would have said no.
I would have said hell no.
Oh, EJ.
Penguin.
Yeah.
If Danny DeVito came up to you, though, because that's a great, he's giving you a great story, and you're just sitting with a little cigar smoke.
Take a hike, Danny.
Wow.
Sit here like everyone else.
I'd be happy for that. Of course, Danny DeVito. Thanks for that victory against the Colts, by the way.
Cigars smell terrible, by the way.
I like this. I like cigar smell. I do not like cigarette smell. Cigarettes would be tough.
Cigars are tough. I can't do that.
Wow.
For a long flight, potentially? No. Take a hike.
Cigarette or the other thing that people smoke? What scent would you rather
crack?
Have?
Yeah.
I'm really, sorry.
Really
I'm in this seat.
The power rankings there, Bogus.
It's this seat. I'm sorry.
Is there any actor who could come up to you, EJ, and convince you to let him smoke a cigar?
Wow. Great question.
Or New York athlete.
Maybe.
Knicks player? Josh Hart.
All Knicks.
All Knicks are good. Well, actually, no.
Ariel Huck-Porty?
Come on, brother.
No, Knicks is bad for your lungs. You need to stay in shape. Tibbs wouldn't like it. No. Actor, maybe Robert Downey, if he came up.
Okay.
I'd say, all right, yeah, whatever.
Robert Downey or Precious Achiuwa?
You've seen Precious play recently? He's definitely not taking any cigars. Give me a break.
Okay. Our next matchup, Rush Hour 2 versus Aliens.
Dove lì? Where? Lì fuori!
Where?
Dove? Dove?
Dove? No, there's people down there.
Lì fuori!
Connor!
Lì!
Connor!
Lì!
Connor!
Throw it!
No!
We about to die! Okay. Get on your feet.
Slow down, Snoopy.
Enough, all right?
Put that down. It's a bomb.
Put that down.
Hey.
Guys, no bomb. Nothing. Now stay away before I throw you both in jail for obstruction.
By the way, Chris Tucker should have been in this bracket twice, but he opted out of next Friday. I don't know why.
Think to do this movie.
He was doing Rush Hour 2?
I think that's why. I think that's the story.
Had he already blown up? I can't remember the timing. Friday was his first big movie.
I think it was Rush Hour 1 was the movie that he did.
Yeah.
That was why he wasn't in Friday.
And then decades he disappeared. How long did he go away?
A while. Who knows?
I know he's in Silver Linings.
I saw him pop up randomly in a celebrity all-star game for the NBA, and I was like, hey, Chris Tucker.
Yeah. By the way,
I was in 2012, though.
No woman has looked better in a movie than Rosalind Sanchez in Rush Hour 2.
Okay. God bless. Take your word for it.
Take your word for it. Have you never seen this movie?
Yeah.
I don't remember which one is 1, 2, or 3.
You don't remember Rosalind Sanchez in Rush Hour? Come on, bro.
Slow down, Snoopy. Snoopy tattoo?
He's sending me Sidney Sweeney tweets, and now I'm giving him Rosalind Sanchez, and I got nothing.
Aliens. I can tell you about Sigourney Weaver.
Ripley, it was a bad call.
Bad call.
Right.
These people are dead, Burke. Don't you have any idea what you've done here? Well, I'm going to make sure that they nail you right to the wall for this. You're not going to sleaze your way out of this one. Right to the wall.
Ripley. I expected more from you. I thought you'd be smarter than this.
I'm happy to disappoint you.
All right, that's a strong number 2 seed, Aliens, taking on Rush Hour 2. You can vote on the Maggie and Pearl X feed, the Hoth region. Any upsets brewing here, Bogus?
I mean, personally, I'd have to vote for Incredibles 2 as the 12 seed to pull off an upset.
Over Spider-Man 2?
Yeah.
Well, I think the issue with Spider-Man 2 is there's a stronger Spider-Man sequel in the field, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Fair.
Far From Home is the one that made it, right? Yeah. Tom Holland?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think, and same with Batman. Dark Knight, of course, is a stronger sequel than Batman Returns. So that's interesting. I think Too Fast, Too Furious has a chance. Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. Beverly Hills Cop 2, bit of a fall off from Beverly Hills Cop 1, as I recall. Although it's been a long time.
And then you have the Rosalind Sanchez effect for that 7-seeded Rush Hour 2.
Wow, yeah.
Making life tough for aliens.
Wait, what?
Exactly.
Oh, but were there aliens at Rush Hour 2? I don't remember that part of the plot.
That's Rush Hour 3.
Okay. What year was Rush Hour 2?
Feels 2003, like
2003,
I think.
Yeah, 2002, 2003. I was
2001.
Ah.
Close.
So it was 24 years ago.
Damn.
Yeah, I see the Rush Hour movies on cable, but honestly, like, they've all melded. Because they play all the time. They all meld into each other.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? You can be absolutely ripped and know which one you're watching. The same one.
I watched Rush Hour 1 the other day. It is definitely the least offensive of the Rush Hour movies.
Oh, did they, sir?
It has its offensive jokes, but the Rush Hour 2 clip is insane.
EJ has told me that he and his friends, well, obviously he abstains, EJ, but EJ and his friends have a drinking game when it comes to watching the Rush Hour trilogy.
Oh, yes, what's that?
Anytime there's a problematic line reference, you got to take a drink.
Yeah. Because that was famously Brett Ratner directed those, and he's quite a problematic figure.
Exactly.
Very successful figure. You a Rush Hour fan, folks?
I was just about to say, I don't think I've seen a second of that movie.
Shut up.
On purpose.
What?
Shut up. I don't, but that's so un-American.
Is it?
Yes.
How was Godfather?
I heard it was all right.
Okay.
I've heard good things.
I'm not saying Rush Hour is good or bad, but I've probably seen part of it just because it was on TV and I stopped on it, but I have never seen any of them start to finish because I wanted to watch them.
Weren't you in college and these movies were out?
I was in college in 2001, yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
So you didn't have friends and went to go watch a movie?
I had some friends, but we didn't go see Rush Hour.
Go out, get a little inebriated and watch a comedy?
No.
You guys are weird.
Yeah, that's fine.
This feels like it would have been a very college movie. Like, if I was college age, man. I feel like this would have been the movie. I was in middle school, and it was the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, sorry. This guy sucks. Or if I did see it in 2001, whatever, I don't remember it.
This guy stinks.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like,
nothing matters.
There's some other heavyweights in this bracket here. It's, you guys are making it sound like Rush Hour is the Casablanca. I mean,
it's the best trilogy of films in cinematic history.
Oh, that's not true.
I mean, if Spider-Man 2 probably made $6 billion or something in this, there are bigger. Rush Hour made a lot of money, popular movie. There's some heavyweights. We're in the Sweet 16.
Right.
Are we in the 32?
Spider-Man 3 by itself, it curses at the entire trilogy. The Rush Hour trilogy is gold from start to finish. Spider-Man 3 stinks.
Heard 3 is kind of terrible.
What, Rush Hour 3?
Rush Hour 3.
No, but Spider-Man 3 is awful.
That's true, too.
Maggie, if you're out there listening, please come back tomorrow.
What's wrong with me?
I think we need 3-2. We're playing zone.
Okay, well, get Gordon in here.
Actually, I don't know. Maggie would probably just fold on this one, too, because I don't think she knows the Rush Hour movies either. But
so you don't know how do you not know the Rush Hour movies?
I don't know. They're on all the time. I didn't.
Exactly. Yeah. So you should have watched them.
But there's a lot of these sequel brackets where all the movies blend into each other. Like, honestly, I don't know the plots of one compared to the other. You say a movie, and I'm like, what happened in Beverly Hills Cop 2? I don't remember which one was 2 and which one was 3. So, and I mean that is in a negative way. I don't think that Rush Hour 2 and Rush Hour 3 are that different. Do you?
I haven't really seen 3, so I can't give you that. 1 and 2, 2 is basically like, oh, you like Rush Hour? Let's give you all of the most outlandish things about 1 and just do that for 2 hours.
Well, we'll see how it does in the voting. You can go vote, of course, at Maggie and Pearl on X. All right, coming up next, we got to get back into football. Russell Wilson is a Giant, but are the Giants done, or will they make another splash move this offseason? That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
So forget about it, cuz.
All right, Bogus. I am having a wonderful morning because I did great in Prize Picks last night.
Explains it.
Yeah, I rode the NBA. I am on a winning streak. Thank you. Oh, my gosh, I'm going back several days of college basketball and NBA success. And the best place to cash in on your favorite sports, over 10 million members, billions of dollars in award winnings, that's Prize Picks. It's made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. So simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 1,000 times your money. It's best time of year, too, because you have hockey, you have e-games.
You got baseball on Thursday.
You got baseball coming up. You still got soccer going on. Don't miss your chance to cash in as all these sports come to a head. Personally, NBA, very interesting right now. You got to be smart at the end of the season. Join Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, available to play in 40-plus states, including California and Texas. Download the app today and use the code MNP to get $50 in bonus promo funds instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 in bonus promo funds instantly when you play $5. Win or lose, you get the $50 bonus credit for just playing. It is guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Great debate Wednesday. Which athlete from the past would you like to see compete in today's game? I went with Wilt. Bogus went with Dan Marino. Manny went with Babe Ruth.
I had Willie Mays. EJ at Dan Marino.
Sorry, EJ okay. at Dan Marino. Gordon Damer had Michael Jordan, so he could settle the Jordan-LeBron debate, which was clever. No one wanted to go Dr. J. Can you imagine what his game would be like? See an old highlight from the ABA or from really early Sixers. There were no athletes like Dr. J with the long arms and the jumping ability. I think he would have adjusted very well to today's game. Would have liked to seen that. Of course, I didn't want to go Sixers heavy. I was going to give you Andrew Toney, the Boston Strangler.
Oh, sure.
Nice.
Who?
Of course.
Don't worry. Okay.
That one I'll allow.
All right. Brad in Oregon has another guy, one of my former boss's favorite players of all time, old-timey player you'd like to see play today. Brad, who do you got?
Yeah, with the three-point line in there, guys, I would love to have seen how his game and his stats and numbers would have matched up with Pistol Pete Maravich.
I think Pistol Pete, when this topic comes up, is a popular choice because he plays like a modern player. All offense, all gas. Do you think he would have been able to dominate like he used to?
Well, with the three-point line in there, I think he would have had to have been respected, and just what he did. And back in the old day, I would have loved to have seen up and down the court the hustle that he had and everything. I think his game would have really fit in with what they do in the NBA now.
Pete Maravich, thank you, Brad. Pete Maravich in college at LSU averaged, for anyone who doesn't know, 43.8 points his first year, 44.2, and 44.5.
Is that good?
With no three-point line.
That's crazy, dude.
I mean, why aren't you boxing one in this, dude? What are they doing here?
Maybe we should play against plumbers and firemen. That's why.
And actually, I don't think his team, maybe Gordon, you know this, Gordon Damer is in doing updates. Did he make the tournament? Did he make it once?
I don't think he did.
Dang. Yeah, I mean, the tournament was smaller then. This was in the 60s.
Yeah, those LSU teams were notoriously very mid.
Which is funny.
And his dad was coaching.
Then later on, Ben Simmons, of course, went to LSU.
And they were still mid.
And actually, I don't even think the Shaq Stanley Roberts team, did they make an Elite Eight?
Elite Eight, but they didn't make a Final Four.
It does seem like it's one. Chris Jackson, former Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, went there. I think it's a school where people disappoint tournament-wise. Then again, and Maggie's not here to defend this, I don't care if you make the tournament. That does not mean to me that you're not going to be good in the NBA.
No, we all agree with you. Yeah, that is a purely Maggie.
She does bring up Markelle Fultz, which is it's kind of an argument stopper.
How dare you?
And Ben Simmons. And Ben Simmons.
Two guys in the history of the NBA.
How dare you?
Dylan Harper, of course, will be the next. Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey out of Rutgers. I think everybody wants those guys, especially to me, Harper.
Maggie.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Rutgers was not great this year. I don't quite know why. But you got to go down a list and tell Maggie next time we do this argument, EJ.
I feel like I do it every
all the
time.
Guys.
I always
Haterade is what you guys are drinking.
I always start with Anthony Edwards. And then she says, well, he was on a team that didn't have another NBA guy.
Haters.
Yeah, she said.
I mentioned Damian Lillard. I mentioned Klay Thompson. Like, they're. Klay Thompson's won how many championships? Four?
She People like me.
She says, though, Georgia is not a basketball school.
Like, Rutgers is Penn State. Like, what are we talking about?
Wait, Penn State's not the right one there. Rutgers is...
Well, I was going geographical. That's closest to power football school.
Okay. Yeah. Because Penn State's not a good basketball school. No, Maggie's wrong on not this one. And we can say that, but she's not here. But I think she'll be back tomorrow to defend her take. And hey, listen. Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey could be total busts. I have no idea. But I think her thinking is wrong on that one. All right. Let's go to Gordon Damer. Gordon, of course, you weren't here when Maggie does all that. What's your take? Do you think that just because Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey did not get to the tournament, you downgrade them in the draft?
No, not at all. Yeah. I don't think so.
Ah,
I'm not. I'll be honest with you. I am not the biggest college I only like college basketball when everybody's betting on it. Like, I'm like most of America. Like, once the tournament starts, then I'm fully engaged.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, like, unlike most of our industry, nobody admits that. We all feel that way, but you're not supposed to admit that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, not me.
Letting you behind the curtain here. Maybe I've shared too much.
I do think I don't think there's shame in admitting that you are making a crash course in college basketball in this industry. Well, a lot of guys do. I mean, Charles Barkley's on the damn analysis.
That works for him, right?
He's
an idiot and a fool.
And EJ, I know you're a big college basketball fan, but there's no way you can watch nationwide all these conferences play. There's just a lot going on.
That's a good question.
Now, Charles is particularly...
He doesn't watch games while he's sitting on the dais to talk about the games. So.
I'm not sure he watches games when he's at a game.
I was paying attention to the Bryant score, so get at the Clark or Kenneth, please.
I'd love it. All right, Gordon, let's have some real sports updates.
But they do have some big old women.
They do. All right, so they tried to get Matthew Stafford, didn't go. Met with Aaron Rodgers, that didn't work. So the Giants, looking for a QB, got one yesterday. Russell Wilson headed to New York. 1 year, $10.5 million guaranteed. Wilson, a 10-time Pro Bowler, turns 37 in November. Clearly an upgrade over what the Giants had last year. 11 games in Pittsburgh. Wilson put up almost 2,500 yards, 63% passing, 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He has never lost a game at MetLife Stadium. 4-0 in his career. Now, he's playing the Jets and the Giants a lot of times, so that might be one. But he did win his Super Bowl at MetLife.
That might be the most meaningless stat of all time.
Of course.
It was 12 years ago, but it counts.
I had an hour to find these meaningless stats, so I wanted to use it. 2014, of course, beat Denver. So where does this leave the Steelers? They've now lost both of their quarterbacks. It does.
Factually correct.
And this is going to be almost as enlightening. Ian Rappaport says that if Aaron Rodgers plays in 2025, it will be for Pittsburgh.
Oh, there you go.
I'm reporting that as well. Can I do this?
Yeah. Or he could retire. I know this is going to shock everybody.
So, but by the way, what if there's an injury or what if something comes up? What if he waits?
Well, he could very well be waiting out Minnesota. It seemed like that was where he wanted to go, but they had no interest in him.
Well, Rapsheet's saying it's done. It's Pittsburgh or bust.
No, he said if he plays, it would be for Pittsburgh. But much like you were talking about in the last hour with Adam Schefter and his draft predictions, these things can change over time. Nobody's going to remember in a month from now.
I saw a headline the other day. Aaron Rodgers is a terrible cultural fit for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Say, and I know, EJ, you probably agree with this after what he did with the Jets, saying that he's too much of a locker room problem. My only exception to that is you have a lot of veterans there. You have a established coach. Feels like Mike Tomlin's dealt with a lot of characters before. I don't think culture would be the problem. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, I think he'd be fine. I'm not sure I agree. Is he really going to be able? That's a strong.
Where would he be a culture helper?
Well, I mean, you have Mike Tomlin and you have T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith and a bunch of veterans. Mm-hmm. Is he really going to completely blow up that team like he seemed to do with the Jets? I just don't think there's that much of a risk of that.
No, I don't think so either. And look, he might be a problem anywhere, but if you were going to lessen that, you would think going to an established team that has a history of some success. I mean, went to the playoffs this year. You would think it would be minimized there.
Well, I think maybe that people think, oh, he's a sort of new age, hippie, California,
ayahuasca. Well, I don't think he's a good fit.
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
But I don't think quote unquote blue collar talent. Like,
yeah, but you know what? Aaron Rodgers is from Chico, California. I don't think personality wise he'd have a problem in Pittsburgh personally. But I mean, I think he'll get there. And the question is, will he wear out his welcome like he has other places?
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
But if he's healthy and his leg is healed, I mean, what's your other option, Manny? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Manny Rodriguez?
Retire, call it quits, hang up the cleats, and go trip on ayahuasca in Costa Rica or something.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. What options do the Steelers really have? This is the second year in a row that they have completely overturned their quarterback room.
They have no other options.
Yeah.
They have Mason Rudolph. They have Joe Flacco as a possibility. They have drafted a guy at 21.
You had Mason Rudolph. You let him go, and then you brought him back.
I don't hate Joe Flacco there.
Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco, that's a guy who fits Pittsburgh in a way. AFC North experience. If you're just waiting, you don't get Aaron Rodgers. You could draft somebody at 21 and then get Flacco and just let him play the first eight games.
And since Mike Tomlin has the very much warranted lifetime contract, they have the ability to be patient here. You know, they don't find their quarterback in the draft. They can just try again the year after that, the year after that, while Coach Tomlin's there, rightfully so.
Is that forever. Sarcasm there?
It feels like it.
Well, what are you supposed to do? They can't get in the top 10 because they're too good under Mike Tomlin.
I know. That's the problem of living in the middle. At some point, you have to go all the way down to the studs.
He didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
Yeah. So,
I know, but this is confusing. Mike Tomlin, his biggest credit is he always finds a way to win football games, to have a winning record. But you're saying that is now the most important fault for Mike Tomlin.
Well, what I'm saying is, from the outside, we go, oh, man, Mike Tomlin always rescues a season. In Pittsburgh, they go, they started crappily because of Mike Tomlin, and then they rally. That, like, they win, not in spite of him, but he's part of the losing, too. And then the winning makes it look a little bit better. That's why there are so many people who want him out, is because they're tired of this pathway to, like, flirting with 500 and just getting in, but not really being a true contender.
Yeah, no, you're not lying. We found that out the other day when Steelers Depot X-Feed accidentally said Maggie, quoted Maggie saying Mike Tomlin deserves a lifetime contract, and the entire city of Pittsburgh rose up against her.
Did they respond, by the way?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I follow Steelers Depot, but of course it was me. I never said he earned a lifetime contract. I think he has a lifetime contract. I just can't picture the Rooneys walking to a room and saying, Mike Tomlin, you're fired. It just doesn't feel like the Rooneys to me, but maybe I'm wrong. The other thing, too, if they get Aaron Rodgers and he's healthy and they win 10 games, it's same old. Mike Tomlin's back.
I don't fear sudden death.
All right, what else you got, Quinn?
Patriots went after Chris Godwin, tried to get DK Metcalf. Instead, they land Stephon Diggs, a three-year contract, $26 million for him guaranteed. Pats the fewest receiving yards of any team in the NFL last year. NBA, bad news for the Bucks. Damian Lillard already out with a calf strain, diagnosed with a blood clot in his calf, so he is out indefinitely. Right now, the Bucks, 11 games left in the regular season. They're sitting fifth in the East, half a game ahead of the Pistons.
Wow, Lillard, 34. I just don't see this guy getting a ring.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening for him, which is unfortunate. But he wanted to not escape the grind of Portland, and now this is what happened to him.
I mean, that being said, you can understand this move for him. I mean, I don't think he was winning a title in Portland either.
No, that's my point. My thing is that he stayed in Portland too long. Like, he was the guy that was like, oh, I'm not going to run from the grind. And he didn't run from the grind. He watched that team become a joke. And then by the time he got traded, it was too late in his career. Now he's had injuries. He got injured last year in the playoffs. He's going to be injured again now. Like, it's unfortunate. But this is the kind of the hand he dealt himself.
Maybe does a Gary Payton get a ring with the Heat kind of thing? Remember,
that's what he needs. He's not to do that. He's got to play on some random team and jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, maybe the Knicks. Gordon, anything else?
Jimmy Butler back in Miami last night.
You
first time
that
since
one.
The trade. Heat cruised 112-86.
Oh, man. I was so ready to back the Warriors as my dark horse Cinderella NBA team.
But if it's just Steph Curry's bruised butt, that's going to go away, and they'll be back to where you want them to be.
Excuse me?
Something EJ said last night on our call. You forget that these old guys wear down in the playoffs. You just, LeBron, Steph Curry, there was a point about a month ago where they were just on fire. I just don't trust that they're going to be healthy through four rounds of the playoffs.
I hear you. And also, when you guys were talking about before about playoff positioning and maybe you should be in the play-in so you avoid somebody early. But then I'm thinking, like, or do you want to play the toughest team when you're the freshest? Like, if they're going to have to play the Thunder, the Warriors, do you want it in round one when you're at your best, not in round three when you've been worn down through, like, 11 playoff games already?
How'd that work out for the Lakers last year?
I don't recall.
I think they
got bounced out of the first round, right?
Yeah, they got destroyed by Denver.
Right,
everyone's going to say Denver's your nemesis. You're going to have to face them at some point anyway, and they got totally blown out.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I don't think that, and also the West is so crazy. I mean, I'm wearing a T-Wolves hat today because they're good again. It's
yeah,
incredible.
I saw that. Very random.
Yeah, I know. I just
they're actually in a slump right now too.
Aren't they?
They've lost like three of their last four.
I thought when Julius Randle came back that they were dangerous.
They
again.
Had a long winning streak, and now they think they've lost three or four or four right. or five since then.
I just happen to have this hat, and
it's
like
very
the way
shiny.
Yeah, yeah, but it's. I don't know. I kind of like the way it fits. Sorry, I guess a lot of critics here today.
It's fine. I like it.
I didn't dislike the hat. I was just trying to break your heart over the surging T-Wolves. I don't think they're hot right now.
Listen, you're just mad because I sent you half-naked pictures last night.
I'm not mad about that, baby.
You sent him what now?
Yeah, I sent him a picture.
Thanks, Barstool.
A picture of Sydney Sweeney that was quite Sydney revealing. Sweeney. Your next girlfriend, Manny.
Yeah, you're damn right.
I still can't believe you said I'll change your life.
I will. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, for the worse.
for the worse, for the better, I change her life.
Your worse, her better. Mm. No, the other way around. Your
nope,
better, her
nope,
worse.
The way you said it originally is correct. Thank you, Andrew.
Okay. Hold on, one more segment, and if we haven't lost you yet, just wait for me to defend Zach Wilson at the end of the hour.
Excuse me?
That's coming up next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Gabagool.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie. We have sort of a long-standing argument on the show between me and all Jets fans, a couple on the staff. I think that you cannot underestimate how much the Jets bring down a quarterback, and that applies to all of them, including Zach Wilson, who was, you know, I'll agree, terrible in New York. I do not think this man's career is over, and there are other people who agree with me, including I think Sean Payton said some nice things about him, but apparently Zach Wilson, the former BYU and former Jets number two overall pick, thinks he's got a little more left in the tank.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to view it differently. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with being a journeyman, but I still believe I can be a starter in this league whenever that opportunity comes. And so I'm just trying to put myself in the best situation with the best team and coaches and do the absolute best that I can. And then, you know, hopefully at some point you can get that opportunity to show what you can do.
So it sounds ridiculous. He was awful in, with the Jets, but was he? Geno Smith was way worse with the Jets than Zach Wilson. And he's
but he wasn't good. The second pick.
He was right. Okay. But there was a lot of expectations. I'm looking at some of Geno's numbers in New York. They were really, really bad. And also, Geno, I think he had, you saw the talent in New York, but I thought that was a case of the Jets ruining a quarterback. Sam Darnold clearly was ruined there. You might not love him, but there's no way he was as bad with the Jets. He threw 35 touchdowns last year. My point is, Jets fans never, ever would have said, oh, I think Geno's got a second act or Sam Darnold's got a second act. So it's not impossible to me that Zach Wilson has a second act as well.
Also, and I'm going to hold hands and defend him here with you as well. What else is he supposed to say? I don't understand why we still get worked up about these kind of comments. Get back to me when a guy goes, you know what, guys? I'm pretty terrible. I'm not really sure why the Dolphins signed me. Zach Wilson should think that Zach Wilson can still be a starter in the NFL. Yep. If he didn't, that would be the headlines. I know it's easy to like dunk on this sentence, but this is what you're supposed to think. You're supposed to think that you can start. You're supposed to think you can throw 25 touchdowns or score 30 points a game. You're supposed to believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. Even if it's as irrational as possible, you're supposed to believe in yourself. So he should be saying this.
Oh,
it
absolutely
might never happen, but he should believe it.
Will?
Yeah.
Okay, so EJ, why in your mind, and I know how you feel about this, you're laughing at the whole topic. How come Zach Wilson couldn't pull a Sam Darnold or a Geno Smith?
I think because there's an aspect of Zach Wilson that I've seen watching him play, and I would disagree that he was way better than Geno Smith. Their QB ratings are exactly the same as the Jets quarterback. So, and Geno may have won just about as much, but he's just not good. And I'm sorry, like I know there's some. I know it sounds like it's very simple, but what I saw with Zach Wilson, my problem with him was it seemed like there was this people were enamored with the idea that, oh, he can run left and throw the ball 50 yards. He can do this and that, but I saw a guy who was very inaccurate on, like, very basic passes. I saw a guy at one point seemed like he had the yips. I seen a guy who also seems like he can't read a defense. So if you're telling me that he's going to go somewhere and learn how to do those things, and that's one thing. But I think with Sam Darnold, I saw a guy who, when he played well, looked really good. I can't point to you the four or five games where Zach Wilson was lighting the world. And I was like, oh, man, you know, we got something here. The whole time he was as a Jet, it was, man, I hope this is going to get better at some point because we're not seeing a lot. I'm sorry. I don't know if he has any 300-yard games and maybe there are only a couple. He's not someone who was lighting the world on fire here when he was here. I just feel like as a guy who watched every snap, I don't see the talent. I just don't.
Well, I feel like you're doing a little revisionist on Sam Darnold. Maybe it's more Maggie. Maggie thought Sam Darnold was an absolute
That's a Maggie
joke.
Thing. I just thought Sam Darnold in his rookie year was pretty good.
How about when when Zach Wilson, he had some wins. I mean, he beat Buffalo in primetime. The game Rodgers went down.
Right.
He had some moments. He had a couple moments. He'd make a throw or two. His problem is utter lack of consistency. Sean Payton said it. I was reading some of Sean Payton quotes when he was in Denver's camp last year. It's like, this kid has a tremendous arm. He just has to find a way to be consistent.
And yet, Sean Payton saw him and said, you're third string. You're barely going to dress. And as soon as your contract's up, get the hell out of here. What is that? I mean, I don't, like, what, those quotes mean nothing to me.
Well,
I
you have Bone Dix. You're not going to build around Zach Wilson.
But don't forget, they began with there's three QBs competing, and Zach Wilson was, it became a two-person thing in about 90 minutes.
Yes. They immediately took him out of that competition.
Yeah. Stidham, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they needed a vet. They had Bo Nix. He was going to be the one. And they needed Stidham to be an option because Stidham had a lot of experience, a lot of starts under his belt.
But Zach Wilson has a lot of starts on his belt now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but Stidham has a real, I don't know, I feel like there were different levels. Peyton, I think, was looking at Jared Stidham like, I might need this guy to start for me. I have to build him up.
I'm not arguing the fact there's a third guy there. I'm just reminding you how the storyline out of Denver went, that this was three guys on equal footing, and then after like two practices, they're like, never mind on Zach. This is now about Bo and Stidham.
Yeah, you're probably right. But
Jared Stidham has four career starts. You want to know how many starts Zach Wilson has?
Double digits, right?
Yeah.
Five.
If Zach Wilson started two full seasons, basically, he has 33 career starts.
But the entire NFL was looking at Jared Stidham as a potential bridge quarterback. Nobody was looking at Zach Wilson coming off.
Which is
New
my
York.
Point. He stinks.
It's not over yet. Oh, man, I hope in 5 years Zach Wilson has a good game so I can rub it in your face. Sometime within 5 years, because you got me on Jalen Hurts today. All right, hopefully Maggie's back tomorrow. Maggie and Perloff Show. Thanks, everyone, for filling in the meantime. Talk to you tomorrow.
How about go? Over here.